the Great Pyramid is not a tomb. They mastered what Tesla was basically invented. And I asked Arthur Matthews, I got to talk to him on the phone one time before he died. He's in his 90s. He's been dead for like 15, 18 years now. Mm-hmm. And I said, when will we have a Tesla system? And he said, it will be so far in the future, no one would have ever heard of Tesla. Because everything would have to come down. We would have to scrap all our media today, which is everywhere, like all computers. Everything would have to be scrapped, and they would have to implant these wireless towers mm-hmm. everywhere. It is not compatible. So someone can't build it. I think there's somebody named McCanny or something who's trying to build it. You can't go up against. It's just a physical fact. So,
Well, it sounds like it's obvious that, you know, the system we have in place now, it's like trying to put a circle in a square if you try to convert everything over. And it seems, you know, nowadays we live in a world of, it seems like, as far as gadgets are concerned, Doug, there's a converter for everything. You know, you have a USB to RCA converter. I mean, there's all kinds of goofy things you can do to make the, so you can plug this thing in there and do whatever you got to do with it, right?
Yeah, but still, governments are as evil as they ever have been.
Mm-hmm.
So again, they're going to be making weapons, and they have, I believe. I think they've even controlled the weather. Maybe taken Tesla's ideas, created Hurricane Katrina. That is very popular.
There's a lot of talk about that.
There's a lot of talk about that because the HAARP experiment.
Scott Stevens was on CNN mentioning that. I've got to email him a few times. He emailed me and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of scary. So we're not. So you know, Tesla is a nice little thing, but we've gone down the wrong road. We wouldn't have had the world wars. We would be on the road to utopia if
mm-hmm.
implemented and done the right way. But you know, we're not ready for it. And it even didn't work in Atlantis because that's what I sort of want to get into
mm-hmm.
the ancient stuff and these locations. But let me tell you this great discovery. To me, it was like. I'm Newton, and I'm being hit on the head with an apple. I had a couple years earlier, I had this. Through this strange experience, I was given these 13 points. And let me give out my email address. I would be happy to send you this map, a map of Atlantis. Okay, my email address mm-hmm. is Dougko, D-U-G-K-O, at surfside.net.
Again,
Dougko, mm-hmm. D-U-G-K-O. At surfside.net. I'd be happy to send them information, articles, this map that was, like I said, this channeled map, and I'll go through these different locations of the ancient world. They happen to be the cradles of civilization. The famous ones are the Great Pyramid, Stonehenge, Easter Island.
Mm-hmm.
These were centers of culture. There was a main transmitter in a huge continent out in the Atlantic Ocean. Not there anymore. Blew up. And we have 12 other ones that step down the energy. Actually, the next major... to talk about this discovery, I mean, son of a gun, I had... All they told me was that it worked together in a global network. They were computer parts to one another. I was not told about Tesla,
mm-hmm.
because I believe that this entity knew that I was going to, in two more years, was going to run across Tesla, make the discovery myself, and just be turned on by this and be motivated to do this research.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla wanted a system of 9 to completely electrify the planet, and the ancients had, I think, a system of 13. Why
mm-hmm.
that magical number 13, a main tower, 12 others. We have
mm-hmm.
a judge and the jury. We have
mm-hmm.
Christ and 12 disciples. Why
yeah.
this magic number? It all could go back to 60,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question. What was the state of humans 40, 50, 60,000 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Most people would say we're primitive. We were driving spaceships. And all that doesn't exist anymore because there's just this de-evolution history going backwards. They've reused all this equipment. There was a great flood. The only thing that would survive would be these huge pyramids. Everything is at the bottom of the ocean in a sedimentary deposit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer in Edgar Cayce.
Mm-hmm.
If you read Edgar Cayce on Atlantis, it's amazing. It's a window to these times. You can apply Tesla principles just by reading Edgar Cayce, that the vibration is from stones to move vehicles and pop crystals and all this stuff. That's all Tesla.
And I can verify that because I've read a lot on Edgar Cayce because it's one of my passions.
Yeah, you just struck a major chord with
us
here.
Yeah, ding, ding. And Edgar Cayce described a lot of what you're talking about. Obviously he was focused on the Atlantis part, but that's a world thing
because he's talking Egypt, he's talking Central America.
So he did mention several of those other places, which is interesting, in Lemuria out in the Pacific. So he does, talk about a worldwide distribution of this kind of thing, and he does say that power was transmitted through the air. So it is in there. It is in the Edgar Cayce readings.
And, I'm just fascinated with the patterns of where these ancient... Okay, you have a main pyramid, and then you have smaller pyramids around it. In England, you have these, in Russia, actually, you have these standing stones, these huge monoliths, but then they actually form a pattern. Like there are smaller stone circles around Stonehenge all over England. There are these standing stones on northern France. It's like you have the central one, and then they're stepped down to the smaller areas. There are the mound builders. Now, that came much later when they couldn't. Everything was going backward in technology. The civilizations kept de-evolving, and I'll give you some examples of that, but you have the Cahokia mound in Ohio. There are smaller mounds that cover... That's the only thing in the continental United States. We don't have the outside of Ed Leedskalnin in Florida. Mm-hmm. We just have the Cahokia Indians and the Anasazi in the West. Now, that was at a time where they could not build in stone anymore, but they had these... We can't build these amazing... earthen structures they're just amazing. But where history is wrong is we say the Indians came. Where did the Indians come from? They say, they walked over a land bridge from Asia. If that were true, the first Indian civilizations would be in Canada. They'd be in the United States. It wouldn't be South America. So just reading the stones, the great stone structures in the Americas or South America, on top of the Andes Mountains in an impossible place, they've moved weights and they put it up on the top of the mountains. They were farming. Machu Picchu came later and they were farming these areas. You can't farm there today.
Mm-mm.
How do you grow Easter Island? It's a volcano. You can't grow anything. How does it sustain an advanced race that can build things that we can't build today? Because they controlled the environment, they controlled they flew, and so history is completely backwards. The next power tower after the Atlantis blew up was the Great Pyramid, because that location of the Great Pyramid is exactly the center of all the land masses. You go north and south, east and west, and that is the perfect location to put a power transmitter. If you wanted to put a transmitter that would most efficiently, where would you put it to broadcast the power? It's Giza, after the Atlantis continent sank. But you have the survivors of Atlantis going to Egypt, going to South America, building incredible things. And I wrote an article about the Bible, and I think it's called High Technology in the Bible. And I go through all these stories. Now, that's later on, too. That's what's interesting, too, because some of the people, like I said, in this de-evolution going backwards, technology going backwards, you have, in Bible times, you had the masses being primitive because there were wars. There were great wars that happened. And you learn in Cayce, I'll get back to the Bible. One thing I wanted to say about Cayce, he talked about the things, T T-H-I-N-G-S, the mm-hmm. things. Casey didn't have the word clone. And Doug, I don't know if, you,
right.
if you've come across that, the things, but that's what he was talking about. And those wars were about the things. Because imagine if you were a high-tech race, but you're losing your ways, you know. And so but you had the ability to clone. You would clone armies. You would clone servants. And there was there were two groups in Atlantis, the Law of One and the Sons of the Law of One and Sons of Belial.
Mm-hmm.
Belial said, whoa, we're going to make these clones. Hell with everybody. We're going to do this. And the Law of One wanted the older ways where, no, we're going to stick up for the rights of these clones. And wars were fought because of that. And this is what I've come to the conclusion was that, yeah, there were these wars, and that's what blew up their utopia, their technology. But, you know, I have the feeling it was, I was told some of these things, too. It was the good guys that blew up the power. Because here's a new generation of Atlanteans coming in thinking they can do anything they want with this. There's no laws against, you know, that was the ways being able to do this, and it's the way it was always done, and free energy and all that. So I think it was the good guys that pulled the power plug and said, okay, if you're going to pervert this technology, no one's going to have it.
Do you think they knew what they were doing, like that they expected the absolute cataclysm that happened?
Yes, absolutely, because there were ancient nuclear wars. And I talked to Robert Oppenheimer,
mm-hmm.
who knew all about that. You see documentaries, and he's talking about the Bhagavad Gita Vedas of India. He was a student of the books of India
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people don't believe it, but the books of India talk about the Vimanas, these flying vehicles. That's where we get the flying carpets from. And he was a student. They asked him in a lecture one time, was Alamogordo the first nuclear test? And he said, yes, in modern times. Because he knew they were rediscovering that. So let's imagine ancient nuclear wars, which are described in the ancient books of India that predate the Bible. And even, I'm getting to the Bible too, Sodom and Gomorrah. There's your example in the Bible of a nuclear blast.
Wow.
And the lines are right there, how they had in that whole thing of Lot and his wife and a pillar of salt. They were running for their lives, and they were told not to look back, because if you saw a nuclear blast, you'd be stunned right there. Mm-hmm. They had to get to the other side of the mountain. The mountain is even mentioned. You would be safe if you could get to a huge hill or a mountain between you and the blasts. And then when they found Lot's wife, she didn't make it. And that pillar of salt was the radiation. She was affected by the radiation, and there's so many examples of that. The splitting of the Red Sea. They saw these crafts in the air. One was a column of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rocket thruster. You would see the smoke in the day, but at night you'd just see the fire of the engine.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what split the Red Sea with a force field. These are all technology, you know. And I actually think that in Noah's Ark, there was a great flood. We have evidence of this. But there, you know, people don't believe that, because how could the animals be alive? How could you take care of all the animals? Of course you couldn't. But these people who mastered technology could reduce life forms down to a chip. You saw it in Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little container holding the DNA samples. It was even in that animation movie Titan AE. You could take all the animals, reduce them down,
mm-hmm.
If you had the science and the technology to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And then wipe the, I think the Great Flood was done on purpose, because it would have wiped out all these warlords and all these clone masters that were completely perverted everything. And we have deserts today. That's not a natural phenomenon. That's areas that were blasted by these nuclear wars and
mm-hmm.
didn't grow back.
In
India, in Australia, we have glass that are formed, rocks that have been fused together by an incredible heat. And it's really fascinating to think. But I think that all animals were created by humans. All plants were created by humans. And, you know, that takes God out of the equation, but who could comprehend God, you know?
Mm.
I think this was all the result of our ancients who were just superior in every way. And let me tell you a bombshell. The Cro-Magnon.
You're telling us a bombshell now?
Here's the first bombshell.
After all the... This is amazing stuff.
I go on and on.
go ahead.
Cro-Magnons, you think, have bare skins and they're the cavemen. No. They have brain sizes larger than the human brain. The brain cavity of a Cro-Magnon, so that whole, that goes against what... But it's true. I'm basing everything on physical evidence, on physical ruins, and son of a gun, now, Edgar Cayce, in his writings, will say Cro-Magnon was Atlantean man. Now, yes, there were these other primates, but they weren't primates. They were these other forms. These were the other humans that the Cro-Magnons, the ones with all the technology, could clone. And make the servants didn't have to have large brains to do their, dinosaurs didn't have to have large, humans made dinosaurs. It didn't all evolve. So these Australopithecus and Neanderthal, they didn't have large brains. They didn't need large brains. They were the workers. They were the things Cayce talked about. And the real ones that had the super technology were the Cro-Magnon. Greater. So how the hell does the brain shrink? Anthropologists won't tell you that. That's something they sweep under the rug. It doesn't make sense because their whole view of history doesn't make sense. We have devolved. You've certainly heard that we use far less of our brain than our potential, that we only use...
Absolutely.
We use one, not even 1% of what the ancients used. And here's another one. Incas came before Mayas. We know that Mayas had incredible language carved into the rocks with hieroglyphs. Incas had no hieroglyphs. They were in an impossible place, and they were before. So how can you have a greater, earlier civilization before... What, they were stupid? They didn't have writing? No. They were so advanced, they didn't need writing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need speaking. That came later. So the creatures that we are now are so primitive compared to what we once were, and we've lost all this.
Okay, well, here's a question.
Okay, you talk.
This is very, very, very interesting because, as you're telling me this, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, let's say we came from the Cro-Magnon, a larger brain, an advanced race. And I look back, and I actually had a flashback of the last 4 years of Ghostly Talk, seeing that we're going on our anniversary pretty soon here next month. And I remember back when we first started this show up, first of all, doing radio on the internet was pretty much unheard of. There's only a couple, maybe you could hold them in one hand. Of how many shows were out there. Because it wasn't an easy thing to do. I mean, and luckily we have, the king, Doug Senek here, the godfather of the internet. He is a very intelligent guy, and he had a lot of experience in things, and he was able to put things together to make it work, right? Now, all details aside, 4 years later, we have things called podcasting now. You can pretty much just take any recorder, boom, 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 here's a three-step guide on how you can have your stuff broadcasted on the internet. It's a great thing. We're very excited about it ourselves. But it seems as if the longer we as a race, let's say we are the Cro-Magnon, a superior race, we came from the superior race,
the new Atlanteans.
Yeah, but the longer we go, the more dumbed down things seem to be, and the less intelligence we have to use to get things done. Could that be part of this problem right there?
Well, that problem is the ones who are in control and the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want... They want to give low pay to teachers. They do not want to produce an intelligent society, because if society was intelligent today, we would question those who were in control.
Exactly. If you knew better, you would ask, what's going on here?
Yes, you wouldn't just take the history books at face value. You would and the politics and what's going on and all these wars that have been going on. I'll tell you, I've learned... If you've been reading the paranormal news, I've also wrote about 9/11, how 9/11 was not what they tell us it was, And also, if anyone writes to me, I can send them a photo of the plane that hit the tower. There's something attached to the bottom of the plane, and it's in the photographs, and I can show them this. And I have documentaries. I have one documentary. I did. I don't know if you know Joyce and Dave, who do the Power Hour.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've heard. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have a document. I did their show, and they that show was actually about hemp. The whole hemp controversy. That's a whole new. The whole thing. How they've been keeping that. That's an answer to so many things. But anyway, as a gift, they gave me this documentary that they produced called In Plain Sight, PLANE.
Mm.
And you can see that there's something. This was not a hijacking at 9/11. This was as bad a conspiracy as the JFK killing. This was done to send us to war. This is who we pay our taxes to, fascists. And that's why things aren't getting better. That's how we can have this great technology, we think, the Internet and all this, and actually be dumbing down and getting dumbing. You know, once in a while on the Internet you can get some great things, but usually we think we're advanced and we're not, because they are controlling us, and it's going to be a long time before things get better, unfortunately.
Well, and that's the thing. It is this dumbing down, I believe. From this discussion we've had thus far, I just look at everything around us. I mean, God, and I always joke around about it with Doug, but I am not a Windows XP fan, for example. All right, I don't like Windows XP at all because of the. I mean, it seems as if every little thing you do, they want to help you with it. You need to be helped. You got to have your hand held for every little thing you do. And,
How about television telling you what's on? Do advertising during the show? We know what's on. You know.
You know, and
you know what's coming next. We know this. They're acting like we're children.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and I mean, media has been becoming. And I've seen it. I've seen the change. I've seen the change with media over the years, and it is more. You know, we're telling you what you need to like. We're telling you what's cool. We're telling you what's in style. This is what you need to buy. This is how you need to act.
I'm an old guy. I remember the '60s. I remember Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
And I protested against that. And kids today just don't. We don't see the protests today like it was. Look at the music today. It's just not good. It's not, you know, there's very few. And the youth always were ahead of any rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not there today. So they've controlled that. They've stopped that.
In regards to music, I was just going to say that. The mainstream, you know, for the youth, because, I mean, I people tell me I shouldn't act this way, but I am getting older. I still dress like I'm 14. I still act like I'm 14 sometimes. But in reality,
that's good.
My body tells me when I try to get up in the morning after like a hard night of whatever, it's like, no, you're not 19 anymore, Scott. You're 31. Okay, chill out. But the thing is growing up where I came, you know, when I grew up like as the youngster kind of guy, there was that rebellion still. And I look at what's going on now in the mainstream media. In regards to music, too. And it isn't rebellious anymore. It doesn't question things anymore. It's more or less questioning whether, and this is going to be very asinine to say this, but it's questioning why my parents will not buy me that Mercedes or something like that. Why?
Very, very yuppie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not anti-establishment.
No.
I was part of the first, I guess, generation after the 60s. And what happens is I used to listen to the music.
Mm-hmm.
The music of the 60s, and it was reflected in the music, the dissatisfaction and the lengths that people would go to express their dissatisfaction. You know, and part of it was topical at the time to talk about the craziness and how you know the demonstrations and the marches and all this stuff against Vietnam and against Korea and against all these different things, right, that were all going on, and the youth of the time was pretty much the college students, right?
Yeah.
And some high school students and some adults, but not very many, and
mm-hmm.
They led these extremely activist lives, extremely activist, and they would go from place to place, and they would crash in crash houses or fields or whatever, mm-hmm. and then they would go on to the next thing.
You know, you could say this one word. you could say it in one word, hair.
Right,
it's
hair.
It's gone. They're all like Nazis with the shaved heads.
Right.
And there's a plot to that, you know, and hair meant freedom, long hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. That way is gone. It's a shame.
No, there isn't a lot of. I mean,
but
I see it. I agree with you.
I don't mean that. You know, I know it's a style, and people go with the styles. And now MTV makes fun of people with long hair. Of course, you know, MTV is total suck. You know, they used to have music on that show.
I think we'll do a special show with me and
network.
You. We'll do a special show with me and you, Doug, just telling people how much we hate MTV.
anti-MTV.
But let me tell you one other thing. What I found out, like Roswell, something big, like I was saying, how the whole fallacy of war, the whole ridiculous thing, all these wars. It should never have been. That's the truth. Now, Roswell, that was in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned about the government UFO cover-ups about that. We know that there were these bodies, these alien bodies recovered from the crash and other crashes also. That, in truth, in reality, would unite the world because suddenly... we would band as all these countries. Now, let's not fight one country against another. Here's our enemy. Here's our enemy kidnapping us, having a greater technology, accidentally or whatever. It crashed in our backyard. We now know Betty and Barney Hill, all these other things. We now know of the existence of the real enemy who's treating us like lab animals. They're the Greys. They're a dying race. That's just one of the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
They're using us like guinea pigs to save themselves. They have no regard about that. The planet should be united. Instead, they take us to your leader. They found out, working covertly with the leaders, that the leaders of the planet are out for our blood as well. So the Cold Wars in the 50s, 60s, they were all planned. I've learned from John Lear and some other people that this was all done, and people just don't question it. They just go, when secretly the world is united in a new world order. That's why there won't be these nuclear wars, but they certainly are doing these things that make us fearful. The news is always bad. They want us in a state. I've learned from Jordan Maxwell and secret societies how they want us. They are in control of everything. The United States is the most powerful nation. We're still controlled by England. That's the shocking thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Vatican is one head of the secret society, the Scottish Rite. The throne of England is another head of the secret society, the York Rite. And
more
these
reasons.
Secret things that absolutely rule the world. And they're the terrorists. They're the ones doing these things that... put us in the state of fear when the truth is this is the most powerful nation. We have nothing to fear. When a terrorist, something happens, they've done it. They blew up Oklahoma Federal Building. They blew up, they crashed. There was, I hate to inform people, but there was no one on board the 9/11 planes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the 9/11 planes was a report out of Cincinnati, that a news report that one of the planes safely landed in Cleveland. Now, for that to have happened, they would have had to take those people off the plane and kill them.
Oh my God!
And I'm telling you, I have a number of documentaries that show this. There was no plane that crashed into the Pentagon. There was no piece larger than a breadbasket. We're to believe it totally disintegrated.
Well, that's what
a guided missile hit. Before the facade fell on the Pentagon, the hole was about 12 feet long, 12 feet in diameter, the hole. It was a cruise missile. They shot down the plane in Pennsylvania. Radio-controlled planes hit the towers. There were bombs set in the towers. The buildings came down like any building's demolition, all planned in advance to send us to war. We have spent a couple $1 trillion, and thousands of people have died, all to have war. And that's an Illuminati thing. That's a Freemason thing. We must always have war. the people in charge stay in charge if they can create this environment of war. So we run to the authorities whenever there's a disaster. Katrina, so many people, Cheney and all these people who, Rice and all these people, these oil people, they profited so much from that disaster. It's terrible. It's, you know, and I sound like I'm not saying these things. It's not, you know, we're brainwashed a million times over the news. This is what happened to Osama bin Laden, that doesn't make it true.
Well, I have to say, the part about the remote control planes and crashing into the towers, that I've not studied or read.
I've seen a lot on it, actually.
The part about shooting down the one in Pennsylvania, I've studied and read that theory.
I can send you that picture of the plane that hit the tower. It was in, that's why it's called in plain sight. It was right in front of our face. I can send you a picture of this thing attached to the bottom of the plane. And if anybody goes to, I can tell you a great site to go to if you want to Google this. It's called The Incredible, the Incredible 9/11 Evidence We've All Been Overlooking. If you put those main things in there, you'll come to an article that shows the missile firing as it hit the tower. And like I said, the blast came down later as a precision, like a building's demolition.
Yes,
and
that I witnessed on TV.
Well, we have seen the video of those buildings coming down, and it was a very controlled fallout.
It came
straight down.
Similar to when you see demolition.
How many stories were the Twin Towers again? Like
over 100.
Yeah, over 110 stories.
We're looking at the photo now. The thing on the bottom of the plane that looks remarkably like a missile.
Write to my email address. I'll send you the picture. Also, building 7. That was the third main one that came down.
Yeah.
On this documentary, you have the main guy, who's the head guy of the building, say, "We pulled it." Now that's an and there he is on film saying, "We pulled it," which is a demolitionist expression. The charges. It happened at that same moment of that day, so the charges were already in place.
I know they spent.
Supposedly a fire. This is a metal structure building, and supposedly a fire did that. Fire from the aftermath of the whole thing. Well, no fire has ever brought down a steel structure building, ever.
And that's the main point right there. And here in Detroit, Doug, we leveled a building, a historic building in Detroit, to make way for the new Comerica Park, which is our wonderful Tigers, our baseball team. We leveled a building called the Hudson's Building.
Yep.
It was the original Hudson's Building, a huge building. They spent months setting up the detonators. There's people on this planet, and I know a little bit about this because I met them. There's people in a trade called demolition contracting.
They have to study a long time to... know exactly where to put the charges.
So the building comes straight down and it don't fall over on something else.
Right.
Okay? Because, I mean, Detroit's like any other city. There's a lot of buildings crammed into one small place and they're really tall. Okay? In order to level a building like that, they have to set the charges up in a way where it'll come straight down. And still, there's a degree of error on that. The people mover here in Detroit, for example, one section came down a little off center and took out a section of the people mover, cost them $2 million to fix that, right? So even there's a degree of error with that. And I've watched the videos on 9/11. It was going on live, the comment you said a second ago, "We pulled it." They were saying that all day long when this thing was going on, when we had to pull Building 7. What'd you pull? A string? What'd you pull? What'd you do here, right?
And the Pentagon, the most filmed, there's cameras everywhere. There's no film of a plane coming in.
Right.
The most secured building, the largest building on Earth, most secured with so many cameras, and there's not one. I've seen the film. Boom. There's an explosion right there.
I've seen the plane
coming in.
There's like 6 or 7 frames or something. There's no plan.
Yeah, this isn't Chuck E. Cheese. This is like the Pentagon.
Right.
Yeah. I'm a layman here, but
that was what I was going to mention. Was I have seen the films for Pentagon and read the theory, and I've seen no evidence to the contrary. I've seen the films, and I do not see a plane in those films.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm trying to people think this. Skeptics think this is, you know, and I've been arguing on Paranormal News. There's been a nutcase calling me a nut, but he's just a red, white, and blue. One, I think one person is just attacking me over and over and over on that on that site because I'm just trying. I don't want this to be true
mm-hmm.
about the country I love, you know. But it's, you know, I wrote another article called "The Sith Have Taken Over the U.S." meaning the Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
the dark forces. Have done this, and I don't want to believe that, but that's true. Why is there a fascist symbol in the House of Representatives and the Senate? Remember the symbol on the back of the Mercury dime?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was tied rods with an axe. It's all over the Switzerland money. It was in our political campaigns on newspapers. It means if you control the bosses, the leaders, then you have power. And it goes back to Roman days.
Mm.
It's Mussolini stood in between two fasci on the balcony. It's in the House of Representatives. When they talk, it's on the wall today.
Mm.
It's on our money. It's in the dictionary. F-A-S-C-E-S. Fasci. What the hell is that doing in the land of the free? It's
mm-hmm.
as bad as the swastika. It's right there. And people just, you know. People don't question it.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And I think
and
a lot
these
of
these fascists who we have to pay our taxes to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame. It's a damn shame.
I think they keep, well, go ahead, Doug.
But I don't think
it's just why things are as bad as they are. It's not happening by accident. It's happening on purpose. Like I said, the world should be united. They have greater technology. They are just giving us little bits of technology. They have the authorities have greater technology than. You know, they're just giving it out to us in small little doses.
Well, I've noticed a great advance in technology. I think it's been the fastest advance in technology ever in the history of man over the past, 50 years or so. Well, that would be since the crash
in Roswell.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Because you got to figure, first, you know, they're doing, recording voice and music on wax records
mm-hmm.
and then wax cylinders, and then all of a sudden they go to vinyl and now they're suddenly in everything's in an iPod, so
which is interesting because I mean
digitized, compressed digitally remastered and
downloaded
iPod, to your iPod
and
what's up with that?
Well, legally
speaking
too, Doug, I talked to you about this on Super Bowl Sunday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
we were talking about podcasting and iPods and stuff like that. Our government has determined now that if you download music to an iPod, it is considered a hard copy. Which that would bring in trademark infringements in certain ways. If you're doing a broadcast like ours, for
mm-hmm.
example, that's where we come into play, right? But that's how far it's come, though. Like you were saying, Doug, literally the flexibility is endless now with computers
but,
and technology.
But the thing is, we're still plugging into the wall.
Yeah,
and that's what's primitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that goes right back to what we started on. Yeah, exactly.
But what
and I'm saying, the ancients didn't do that. The point is that these ancient societies. There's a world grid, and that's what I'm saying. I'm willing to that it shouldn't be like that. If I was taught that the human race, when I was young, came from the Tigris-Euphrates River.
Yep.
Cradle
of civilization. Yep.
The same things wouldn't be happening on another continent away. Thor Heyerdahl, ridiculous. On a raft, that's how cultures spread to another continent.
Mm.
No way. The second his better built raft sunk. It just doesn't work like that. Our ancestors flew. Like I said, they didn't walk over from Asia. You mentioned Lemuria.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that was in the Pacific. That is before Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Asian culture came from. They're not Atlantean. They're not Indians. They're Lemurians, the Asians. And they were before Atlantis. And
mm-hmm.
that fell, and then the Atlanteans took over. But there's just so much. We're just not in an advanced state compared to what we were so long ago. The hieroglyphs, we created something called the Rosetta Stone that supposedly deciphers them.
Mm-hmm.
Bull! They are so over our heads. they say so much. And the first hieroglyphs were carved deep into, they were great engineering feats, carved deep into stone. And like I said, there's evidence before that where there was no need for symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And we used the full extent of our minds and things like that.
If,
the good thing is it's all going to return in the future. We're just, everything's at a cycle. And we are coming up from the Dark Ages, but it will get better, but damn, there's going to be a lot more wars, and I don't believe in a dark future. I think peace makes will inherit the earth. You know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know,
I have a question. The
blanked out there.
Yeah,
if
okay.
We were to discern just something as simple as their motives, meaning, you know, the people...
Whose motive?
The people who are keeping us in this war state and...
Well, I think if you study secret societies, and that's what people... See, they have to do... That's the point. People have to do their own research. The TV, which is where we get our information from, is never going to talk about the real true guts of what's going on, who's really in control. We have to go to libraries. We have to go to certain websites, and you have to be motivated yourself to do that. If you're going to sit back like almost everyone else, let the TV control you,
mm-hmm.
and we get your believe me, the Discovery Channel, History Channel, it's crap. It really is. They're not really exposing what it should be.
Well, a good example I always like to throw at people is by a gentleman named Doc Marquise. And I've mentioned him a couple times on the show here. I'm actually trying to get him to come on the show, too. Doc, call me if you're out there. One thing, and Doug, this gentleman, you know, high level, he claims he was raised in an Illuminati family. He was he was raised up to a seventh degree witch. He was in the thick of it, let's just say, okay? And
yep.
He brought up one example of the Masonic Order, the Masons, and then he said, look, the books I'm reading right now, the stuff that I'm reading these facts out of, are books that are in every lodge library. These books are in every library. And the reason, the thing is that these people that are part of the lodge, a lot of these people, they want a sense of fraternity. They want to be part of something. They want somebody to come and play cards every week. I don't know what they want to do. A lot of these people just want to hang out and talk with friends. They don't really understand what they're a part of because they just simply, like you said.
Exactly. See, that's a lower level.
Mm-hmm.
I got a phone call from someone who admitted that he was a Freemason,
mm-hmm.
and I told him, he goes, I hope that doesn't bother you, and I said, you know, I understand that. Someone going down to have a few drinks in a club, I understand that. I'm talking about the richest people in the world,
yes.
The throne of England, the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. The richest people in the world are creating the wars.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's evil. And let me tell you this. I found, okay, you would think the Second World War, you would think, is the most justified war ever to be. You would think Hitler was a madman. We have to stop this. Look at how we were innocent and naive, but all red-blooded Americans went out and fought Hitler. But guess what? There's evidence that FDR knew. It was in one particular book that I learned from Jordan Maxwell. It was on his desk about the bombing of Pearl Harbor before. Here's the commander-in-chief allowing it to happen. Churchill, that was the great... He wanted that. They were behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would bring the United States into the war and just have a whole global conflagration there.
Mm-hmm.
I found out through Jordan Maxwell that Aleister Crowley, you may have heard of Aleister Crowley.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He gave the Hitler salute, the arm-out salute, to Hitler. He gave the V for victory, which the hippies later made the peace sign, but the V for victory, to Churchill. The same warlock gave the thumbs-up salute, which we still use today, to the American pilots.
Mm-hmm.
It was all a plan. It was all... So even that war, the most justified war of all time, you would think, in modern times, was planned in advance. I can go on and on. They crashed the stock market, so the richest people profited. The masses lost out like crazy, but the richest people profited.
Are you talking about in America, Doug, in regards to that?
The 1929.
The stock market.
The stock market crash was
the depression.
Was, again,
all right.
done on purpose, so the rich profited and the poor lost everything.
All right,
it's always that way. That's what every war is.
Well, and that ties in because one of the things I have read up on in regards to Hitler and Germany at the time was that
they were all puppets. Go ahead.
Well, they were systematically, obviously, they nearly systematically wiped out a whole race of people. That's one thing that, I believe myself. I think it's pretty, there's a lot of evidence leading towards that way. And you said just a second ago that they crashed the stock market. So only the richest people in this country would be able to profit from something like this. I know I don't know if it's a complete 100% fact. It's one of the things I've read up on Nazi Germany is that they were, like I said a second ago, they were systematically killing people. And they were, when I say systematically, they weren't just like, okay, wah, wah, wah. They weren't just knocking people off left and right. It wasn't a random thing. They had a system put in place. And even back then, to create such a large system to keep things organized and do it in an organized fashion, you would have to have some type of machine or whatnot to keep things in order. And from what I understand is that IBM, a company we're all very familiar with, probably a lot of us have one of their computers sitting on our desktop, they built a machine for the Third Reich. And I don't know, I'm not gonna slam on IBM right now. I don't even know if they knew what they were doing, okay? But they created a machine to create random numbers to tag each one of the prisoners with, okay?
And that was like the original, what IBM was originally doing?
At the time, yeah. International business machines. They're obviously international at that time. This is something that I've read up on. I'm sure a lot of people have read up on that also. It's something that Alex Jones points at also. I'm sure you're familiar with Alex Jones, Doug. But that's another thing. But if you take those two things together, international business machines was a big company still at the time, and they probably had a lot of stockholders who had large sums of money, if I'm correct, Doug. That's how the people with the most wealth at that time could have profited right there. It gets me
because a human being, we think, to err is human. We think war is in our nature, and that's what I think my whole message, what I want to tell people, is about Atlantis, and it wasn't always that way. Atlantis was Eden. It was perfection. It was paradise. That's what's in our nature. That's what we don't get any type of reinforcement. We're negatively reinforced. We need to be positive and be open. That's why I said the future, I think it will all come out and our natural basicness will come out. And that's, that's that there was a paradise. There was a perfect, there was utopia
mm-hmm.
here. And now it's hell. But I think it once was heaven on earth for thousands of years before it got corrupt, and we had this ultimate technology that, because there are these stone in Lebanon, there's a 8,000 ton obelisk sitting on its side, certainly not standing up.
Mm-hmm.
Stone of the South, 8,000 tons. We can barely move 5 tons. And what was the one stone? What was the size of the original rock that the obelisk was carved out of?
Mm-hmm.
A Tiwanaku, 200-ton building blocks. The cornerstones of the Great Pyramid, 200-ton. This was anti-gravity. This was powerful lasers that moved these weights. This is the human race. And you needed, we could do so much if we were positive and we used technology the right way.
Well, with those projects, with the pyramid, specifically, Doug, it happens to be, as the guys know here in the studio, it's a very, very big interest of mine is the Great Pyramid. And I've read theory upon theory about how the thing was built.
Well, I just told you.
it does astound me that we look at these. Go ahead, Doug.
There's actual stories, and I don't know if they're true, but there's stories of people who've demonstrated anti-gravity. Of course, mm-hmm. they're wiped out immediately afterwards.
Yeah, you don't hear about it ever again.
Yeah,
I mentioned Ed Leedskalnin. in Florida. Now, Coral Castle, are you familiar with that?
Uh-huh. I've heard about it, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's a guy they did it in search of about him, and here's a little guy. He wasn't even 100 pounds. Sickly guy. Had to have known Tesla's principles. How did he move all these tons and tons of stones? And they would have he'd have a truck pull up, and he'd have the driver look away, and suddenly this huge couple tons would be loaded on the truck. Mm-hmm. He had to have, that's my theory, he had to have small like tuning devices that could vibrate at a certain frequency. And if you hit that right frequency, you can do the wonders of electricity and vibration. It's just amazing. I think he could just lift like it was a feather and just put it on the truck, and no one could ever see how it was done. But he made his own electricity out in the wilds of Florida, looking for a certain spot of land that was special, and this was this particular certain points of land have these harmonic frequencies, these nodes, these grid points where it's much more likely to tap into this energy that's natural. The Earth, I think, vibrates at a 7.5 hertz frequency, because 7.5 hertz is a frequency that goes 24,000 miles. That's the circumference of the Earth. Mm-hmm. So it would, by the time it repeats, it is wrapped around the Earth. So the Earth is humming at that 7.5 hertz. I heard the Navy uses it because it's the only frequency that goes underwater. So there's anti-gravity is absolutely how these things were done.
Have you ever seen anything by or heard of Michael Hutchinson, the Hutchinson effect, or Hutchison?
No.
Fellow up in Canada would work with electricity and magnetism, and he claims to have gotten things to levitate. And there's even films on the internet about it, but I wonder if he might have been.
You think he'd be dead now? You think that would have killed him? You know?
Well,
I have the cure for cancer. You're dead. we make far too much money on all these pharmaceuticals.
Well, I don't think he's dead, but I think that he has been discredited to the point where he's become a laughingstock, which is absolutely sad.
Which he might as well be dead on something like that, because I mean, you have no opinion no more.
He did some amazing things, and I think, you know, I wish that stuff would have been continued or at least attempted in other places, but instead they just laughed, and I think that's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
But yeah, I wonder if he was onto something.
He very well may have been.
I wonder if you could talk to him.
I have to say, though, man.
We have 4 minutes.
Another one of those conversations where you just want to go on and on and on.
Was there a topic we didn't cover?
I don't know. I mean, did we miss anything, Doug? What do you think, Doug?
I actually wrote a book about, it's called Secret Bases on the Moon and Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something. The whole space program is a sham. We have been up in, not the people, but the authorities have already been up there. Even Mars, there's evidence of this, believe it or not, that I'm positive there are things going on the moon that they're not telling us about. There's certainly a giant face on Mars, and all kind of things, secret space missions that we pay for, but again, it's a fascist world, and it's only those few on top that get to benefit from this. And I think we're up there. That's why there's all these things. Oh, we're going to be going up into space, and Bush saying, we're going to go to the moon. No, they won't allow us. We have those two probes on Mars, Spirit and Opportunity, something like that. Why did they not go to Cydonia?
Right.
All these anomalies. Mm-hmm. No, they went to some crater where they knew nothing was there. This is a sham.
It seems that you'd put your effort into the objects of most debate. I mean, all we've been doing is debating about Cydonia and the pyramids and the face on Mars that you see.
Well, they have come out with those new photos that supposedly discredit the face, No, there's just too many things there. There's a great pyramid that happens to be aligned with the Martian directions, and all the ancient pyramids are aligned to the cardinal points, to the direction. Each side faces each direction perfectly. That happens on Mars. There's a grid on Mars.
And it's all so fast. Doug, we need to have you come back.
Yes, we do.
We need to have you come back. This is just so fascinating. These are real ideas. It's amazing.
You said you wrote a book. When does it come out, or is it out?
I have like four different manuscripts, and not that one, but another one seems finally. I think some agents are looking at it now. It's a new discovery I made, and it's a whole other world to go into right now. I made a big discovery about anagrams, and there's a search engine about anagrams now, and certain anagrams, I think you know what an anagram is,
mm-hmm.
but certain anagrams, it's just amazing. It's not a coincidence. These things are giving messages, and I call it the anagram code. It's just like the Da Vinci Code. There are these messages in there, and this seems to be taking off. Agents are looking at it. But then I wrote another manuscript called The Atlantis-Tesla Connection about these 13 points, what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Not published, but maybe if I can get that one book published, maybe these other ones can come in, and that's what I'm hoping for.
I hope so.
Definitely.
Because you are
Thank
a prolific
you. I wish
writer.
Everyone, thought about me the way you guys, because I'm certainly not a celebrity, but thank you for thinking I am.
We admire people who work hard and think hard, and that's what we're all about here.
And you do, and you enlighten us every single time I open up paranormalnews.com. So,
yeah.
Doug, your email is D-U-G-K-O.
At surfside.net.
Okay, D-U-G-K-O at surfside.net. Email Doug and ask him.
I'll send him articles, I'll send him pictures, anything.
Mm-hmm. Get enlightened a bit.
Get enlightened.
Let's do this.
Exactly. Unfortunately, though, we have to go.
It's great being here.
Well, thanks.
On the one side, it's unfortunate that we have to go. On the other side, Full Moon Radio is coming up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Doug, stay on the line for a second, okay?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Stay on the line for a moment, Doug, and I want to say thank you to everybody who's listening.
Oh, yeah.
I hope I know I've learned a lot,
and
a lot of lines have been drawn, and I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you learned something, I hope you email Doug and ask him for his
definitely.
Some of this evidence he's been talking about, because we did look on the internet, and some of it is definitely food for thought.
Definitely.
Yeah, and if you Googled my name, you could hit all my articles.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
Google
true.
My name.
Yep.
Y-U-R-C-H-E-Y.
Doug Yurchi. There you go. Now, also, too, next week, I promise that we're going to have, I was going to do it this week, but I totally forgot. I'm going to have a list made up of all of our affiliates that we have on the site so we can read them off at the beginning of the show.
Good idea.
I forgot to do it this week, but thank you to all of our affiliates who take the show on. We appreciate it so much.
Yes, because we're in our own podcast, and we're also on Pioneer, but we're also on so many other great sites, such as OmniSound Radio 1.
Oh, yeah, Jeff, the man.
And some, there's
KTWF, the great friends of ours. We'll have a list next week so we can get everybody's name out.
Terrestrial and internet radio stations.
Exactly.
And we want to thank everybody for that.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I have to say thank you to Doug, and thank you to...
Thank you to Francis.
Morrow
Road coming out.
For making this show as incredible as it was and as enjoyable to be here behind the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to all the listeners. We will see you next week. We'll see you on Wednesday.
We're going to be here on Wednesday.
We're going to be here Wednesday for a special show. Check our website at www.ghostlytalk.com for details on that. And other than that, our regular broadcast schedule is every Sunday from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. So we'll see you then as well.
Mm-hmm. We're out of here. I'm Scott O.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And this was Ghostly Talk. See you later. Goodbye. All that good stuff. Bye-bye. Later.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
We'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media. Become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can breathe.